Revelation chapter 5 and verse 5, this is a picture of glory, the throne. Verse 5, "And one of the elders saith unto me, Weep not, behold the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And beheld, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as had been slain, having seven eyes, seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints." And just pause there, isn't there a wonderful thought? Every time you've met for the prayer meeting, your nightly prayer meeting every Tuesday, as you've met before the services, as you've prayed at home for the hand of God to be upon the work last year, God has taken notice. It's precious to him. It's like a sweet incense. God marks it in heaven. Verse 9, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Could we stand for just a short word of prayer, and we'll turn to God's word together. Our Father in heaven, how we praise thee for these great reports that we've heard this evening. And Lord, we give thee all the praise and all the glory. And Lord, in these remaining moments as we turn to thy word, we need thy help. Oh Lord, we need to understand what this phrase means. The Lion of Judah. Oh Lord, we've already sung about him. Lord, we've heard reports of his work in and through this congregation. But Lord, in these remaining moments, help us to focus our mind upon him and to praise him who is worthy. For it's in Christ's name we'd ask it. Amen. And amen. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. When you come to study the book of Revelation, always keep in mind the theme. There are those, of course, who would argue all night over minute details of interpretation of prophecy, and they forget that the theme of the book is the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation means the unveiling. The unveiling. You can imagine a statue in the town hall or somewhere, and the mayor or dignitary comes along, and there's a cloth over it, and he takes the cloth and he unveils it. And the crowd can see the beauty of that statue. The purpose of the book of Revelation is to unveil to us the glory and the majesty and the might of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the book. Of course, you can study the book on the subject of the Lamb. And in Revelation 5, you have the Lion and the Lamb, the same person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 1 to 3, you have the witnesses of the Lamb. You have the seven churches, lampstands, witnessing. Your congregation here in Ballymena is a witness for the Lamb. The finished work of Christ, the sacrifice of Calvary. Chapters 1 to 3, the witnesses of the Lamb. Chapter 4 and 5, we have the worship of the Lamb. By the way, the word Lamb occurs over and over again, even in Revelation 5. They worship the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. When you go from chapter 6 to the beginning of chapter 19, you can write over those chapters, the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Because the word wrath occurs, I think it's 13 times from memory. The wrath of the Lamb. Our brother spoke about the wrath. Seems opposite, doesn't it, the Lamb, and yet there's the wrath. And then when you get to chapter 19, partway through, you have the wedding of the Lamb. The wife of the Lamb hath made herself ready. And so you have an outline of the book of Revelation. But in chapter 5, you see heaven. And in the midst of the throne, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John, in the beginning of the chapter, he sees that there's a book that's sealed. It speaks of the book of Providence, history being unveiled, judgment, the world coming to its end, judgment. And there's nobody worthy to take that book and to open the seals. And John's crying. But then an elder comes to him and says, John, don't weep. Behold the Lion of Judah. Behold the Lion of Judah. The strange thing is, when John turned and he looked in the midst of the throne, he didn't see a lion. He saw a lamb. He saw a lamb. Of course, the Lord Jesus Christ is the lamb. And he's precious to us as the lamb who took away our sin, who bore our sins in his own body to the tree. You see, these are figures. These are titles. Of course, it doesn't mean Christ is a literal lamb or a literal lion. It's using language that we can understand, humanly speaking, to describe the greatness and glory and grace of our mighty Savior. And I want to think tonight, I've been thinking there when you come in, the Lion of Judah. What a wonderful title. First of all, I want you to notice the praise of the Lion. The praise of the Lion, the Lion of Judah. Tonight you have already sung the praise of the Lion of Judah. What a lovely hymn. I'm sure it's one of your favorites. It's a great gospel hymn that we love to sing. The Lion of Judah shall break every chain and give us the victory again and again. And listen, the Lion of Judah is the praise of glory. For all eternity, we'll be praising the Lamb who is also the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The idea of lion, of course, speaks of royalty. You see, the Babylon often was symboled by a lion. Egypt, the might and power and authority of Egypt was always symbolized by a lion. Some of the legions of ancient Rome, while an eagle was very popular, so was the lion. You know that Her Majesty the Queen of United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth, what is on the royal crest? A lion. A lion. And other nations around the world. The lion. Why? Because the lion speaks of majesty, of authority. And we praise He who is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Our Lion. He is the greatest lion of all time. The praise of the Lion. But then you notice in our text of Scripture, he's called the Lion of Judah. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah. So we need to think about the prophecy. The prophecy. Turn back to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. My, what a book this is. Genesis 49. Wonderful study, this chapter. One of the greatest prophetic chapters in the Word of God. You have in Genesis 49, Jacob is coming to die. And he gathers his 12 sons, who are now big lads, men, with children of their own, many of them. And he gathers them together, and he tells them in verse 1, what shall befall you in the last days? Now, he doesn't mean them individually. He means their descendants. Now, some of the things he said to these lads does describe their character. But yet many of the things he's going to say will not take place for hundreds and hundreds of years. And he starts with Reuben, which means my son. And he said, you're unstable as water, but we're after Judah. Go down to verse 8. He turns to his son Judah. Judah, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. That's a play in words, by the way, for in Hebrew, Judah means praise. So, praise, thou art he whom thy brethren shall praise. Judah is the Hebrew word for praise. Thy hand shall be in the neck of thine enemies. There is authority, rule. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down. He couched as a lion and as an old lion. Who shall rouse him up? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come. And unto him shall the gathering of the people be, binding his foal unto the vine and his ass's colt unto the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes shall be red with wine and his teeth white with milk. And here's a great prophecy. And you have in verse 9 the lion, the young lion, the mature lion, the old lion. And John in the book of Revelation calls the Lord Jesus Christ the Lion of Judah. Which tribe did Christ come from in his humanity? Judah. Judah. The royal tribe. God had it predetermined that when God the Son came into this world, he would be born into the nation of Israel to fulfill the prophecies, that he would be a descendant of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Judah. He is the lion of whom the prophecy is talking. The lion. But notice, he's a leader in verse 8. He's going to be praised. He's going to be the one that his children, the others, will bow down before. And you're told in verse 10, the scepter, that's the sign of authority, shall not depart from Judah nor a lawgiver until Shiloh come. What tribe did the leaders, the kings of Israel, come from? Well, Saul, of course, was from Benjamin, but he was rejected. And from then, from David, from the tribe of Judah. And then one day, the Lord Jesus Christ came, who is King of Israel, who is King of the Jews, who's King of kings, who's everlasting King, who's King of saints. See, this passage is talking prophetically about the nation of Israel. And remember, it was many, many centuries after Jacob said this, before there was any king in Israel. He's just talking to this boy, Judah. But Judah's going to have children, and they'll have children, and children, and children, until there's a great tribe. Thousands of them. Hundreds of years later, they're going to go into Egypt. They're going to be delivered out of Egypt. They're going to take the land under Joshua, the book of Judges. And then David is going to ascend the throne hundreds and hundreds of years later. And yet Jacob tells about it. This is prophecy. What a book we hold in our hand. What a thrill it is to have a message. What a book. I remember quite a number of years ago, it must be 20 years or so ago, I was actually studying for myself this very chapter of prophecy. I was in Belfast in the shopping centre out at Avonale, and my wife finally got me out. It must have been by trickery or something, but she got me into a shopping centre. Maybe some of you men like to shop. That's fine, but I don't. But anyway, I got a paper, don't often buy, and I was sitting there while she went into one of the shops, and a very polite lady in Belfast, we'd call her a Malone Road type, posh, and she said, "Excuse me, can I borrow your Belfast Telegraph?" I said, "Sir," and you know what she did? I'm talking of a lady probably in her 70s. She turned to the horoscopes, and I said, "Don't tell me you believe that." "Oh, yes." I said, "Sure, there are hundreds of thousands of people reading that today were born in that month. How could it possibly refer to each one of them? I mean, it's nonsense." She said, "Oh, I don't make any important decision in life. My house I bought, other important, I never make them until I check my horoscope." Of course, I had the opportunity to say, "I have something much better than that. Something that's not hocus pocus. I have something that's dependable." What's that? The Word of God. Why is it people will seek foolish things when this book is prophecy? Now, you'll meet people, I'm sure, in Ballymena, as we have in Newton Ards and round, and they'll tell you the Bible. "Oh, I don't read it. That's only a book of men." How could Jacob tell what was going to happen hundreds and hundreds of years later? You see, when they walked through the wilderness, the 12 tribes, each one walked behind its own banner. Each tribe had a banner, a standard, and every tribe marched six abreast behind the banner of their particular tribe. Which tribe went first? Judah. How did Jacob know that hundreds of years before? When they went into the land to conquer it, they said, "Which tribe will go first?" Judah. Judah. In fact, when they divided the land up among the 12 tribes, which tribe got the first lot? Well, if you'd read Genesis 49, you would know. Judah. I'm told that in 1967, wasn't it, in the Six-Day War, when the Israeli paratroopers were taking Jerusalem, that the plan had been to go through a different gate. But when they got near the city, the cry went up from the Israeli soldiers, "Not that gate, go through the gate, the king's gate, Judah's gate. Judah first." You see, The old Judah, Jacob was speaking by the Holy Spirit prophecy. Now, in the nation of Israel, Judah was first. But the Lord Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Look here, it says they gather unto him in verse 10. That's what's happening in the book of Revelation, isn't it? Why, the gathering in heaven is unto the Lion of Judah. The Lion of Judah. Verse 11 describes the land that Judah got. Hundreds of years later, of course, do you know Judah got a very fruitful land? It talks about binding his foal onto the vine. Now, if you've been on holiday in Spain or France or wherever, I'm told, I've never been in France, I've been in Spain, you know that the vine with the grapes isn't very strong. You could pull it easily. But Jacob said, Judah, the land that your descendants will get will a vine so big that you could tie your animal to it. Do you remember the spies went into Canaan? Joshua and Caleb, of course, were the two that believed they could take the land. Do you know what tribe did Caleb come from? Judah. What land did Caleb get? Hebron, of course, fellowship. But do you know how two spies, well, I presume it was two, but they're carried on a pole, and we're not told which ones. I like to think it was Joshua and Caleb. Scripture doesn't say that, but I like to think that. They carried a bunch of grapes that was so big that one person couldn't carry it. And they tied it on a pole. Do you know where they got those grapes from? The Valley of Eshcol. Do you know where the Valley of Eshcol is? In the portion of land that Judah got. And here's Jacob saying to this boy, your descendants will get a piece of the land where luscious grapes grow. But I see something spiritual here. When you see about washing his garments in wine, his clothes in the blood of grapes, his eyes red with wine, surely a congregation like this, with a minister such as you have who preaches the word of God, surely you would know that that is a spiritual picture of our blessed conquering Lion on Calvary. When his clothes were, as it were, washed in his own precious blood, and there on Calvary he shed his blood by which he conquered Satan and sin. And surely you have a spiritual prophecy in these verses, Calvary. And what were they praising the Lion and the Lamb? One person, the Lion, Lamb. What were they praising for him in Revelation 5? Worthy, for thou hast redeemed us by thy blood. By thy blood, out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. There's the missionary emphasis. How tremendous to hear that missionary report. Well, even in the praise of heaven, there's a missionary emphasis. Even the very number of the words, four, which in Scripture is a symbol of the whole earth, often used the number four in that sense. Remember the river out of Eden? It divided into four, watered the whole earth. Remember the four corners of the earth, the four spirits sent into the earth. It speaks about the four, the kings and the rulers and the people. That's the Jews and the Gentiles who made war on Christ, the anointed. And there you have it, the praise, the prophecy. Let me turn very quickly to the picture. Back in Revelation 5, you have it here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We've spoken about the praise of the Lion. He's the center of glory. The tribe of Judah, that's the prophecy. But what's that picture of the Lion? What is the Holy Spirit seeking to teach us tonight by calling the Lord Jesus Christ the Lion? The Lion. Well, let me give you three just quickly. I believe the Holy Spirit is symbolizing our Savior's strength. Do you remember the riddle to do with Samson? Remember he took the honey out of the carcass of the lion? And he told a riddle to the Philistines. Of course, they were told the answer. And they came back and they said, Judges 14, verse 8, what is stronger than a lion? And what's the answer? Nothing. Because do you know in Proverbs 30, verse 30, listen. Proverbs 30, verse 30, a lion which is the strongest among beasts and turneth not away for any. The lion is the strongest among the animals, and it won't turn away. It's speaking about strength. It's speaking about power. And no wonder Jacob in his prophecy said of the lion of Judah, don't you rouse him up. Don't you get that lion waked. And we can say of the Lord Jesus Christ, he's all powerful. What an encouragement at an annual meeting to realize that you're here working not simply for Ballymena Free Presbyterian Church, though you are, of course, but you're working for the King and Head of the Church, who's the Lion of Judah, who conquers, and who will conquer, and who's King of Kings. We're on the victory side. Even though there seems to be setbacks, one day the lion will rise. His strength. But I think when this term is used, the Lion of Judah, it's to do with his speech. What I mean by that is, in Amos chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, the Lord shall roar from Zion. I could turn you to many verses in the prophet books of the prophets that speak about the roaring of a lion, the roaring of a lion, the Lord shall roar like a lion. But that's one reference for you, Amos 1, verse 2. It speaks too in the Old Testament, when the lion roars, people are frightened. Do you know, I read just a few weeks ago that the roar of a lion can be heard almost 6 miles away. Not powerful. When the lion speaks, everything in the jungle listens. When our Savior speaks and roars, there's power. There's authority. And I was just thinking, when the report was given of the outreach and the Sunday school and the children's meeting, youth fellowship, the missions, you know, this last year, the lion has roared in Ballymena and souls have come to Christ. Oh, that the lion would roar through the Sunday school teachers, through the children's workers, that it would not simply be your words, but as you're the instrument, the Lord Jesus Christ would speak, and men and women and boys and girls would come under conviction of sin and be converted. When I think of the lion, I'm thinking of the picture of the lion. I think of his strength, of his speech. But do you know a lion is used in sentence, as judgment? Do you remember in 1 Kings 13, the man of God disobeyed and he went up, or he stayed and took bread in the northern kingdom. He was told not to. What did God do? He sent a lion to kill him. Do you know over in 1 Kings 20, verse 36, there was a man who was disobedient. This is what God says, 1 Kings 20, 36. Because you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, behold, a lion shall slay you. Do you know God said he sent the Assyrian army as a lion to punish the people? Sentence. That's what Revelation 5 is really saying. You see, Revelation 5 is describing the end times. And it's saying that our blessed Savior, when the enemy comes against the Lamb, they make war on the Lamb. Ah, but the Lamb is also a lion. And when the enemies congregate to attack Christ, he will rise like a lion. And he will overcome them. That's what Revelation 5 is about. He will carry out the sentence of the seven seal book. The praise of the Lamb. You have of the lion. You have the prophecy of the lion. You have the picture of the lion. It describes our Lord Jesus Christ in His great power. One last thought. The people of God are to be like lions. People of God are to be like lions. Proverbs 28 verse 1. This is what it says. The righteous are bold as lions. The righteous are bold like lions. You see, we who follow the Lord Jesus Christ are to be like Him. Do you remember Saul and Jonathan died? What did David say about them in 2 Samuel 1:23? They were stronger than lions. The men that followed David and his army, it said they had faces like lions. You as a congregation are to be bold like lions because you're followers of the Lion of Judah. You're to be bold in your witness. How we thank God that you have a minister in the Reverend John Greer who has been bold as a lion in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in Ballymena. You ought to thank God for that. And I'm sure you do. Thank God. We thank God in Presbytery for a preacher and teacher like Mr. Greer and for the boldness to present the Word of God. And even through the internet, the many in other parts of the world are able to hear the preaching of the Word of God. But we're all to be bold as lions. Oh, I think of the three Hebrew children, or young men really they were, going into the fiery furnace. If God delivers us, that's fine. If He doesn't, we're still not bowing down. Those men were bold like lions. You think of Daniel being thrown into the lion's den. The lion's mouths were shut. Why? Because a greater lion was with Daniel. Because Daniel had the courage of a lion. You think of Martin Luther. When he was told, when he went to the trial, and his friend said to him, if you go, they've promised you a safe conduct. But you know what happened 100 years ago to Jan Hus? How they promised him a safe conduct. Then when they found him guilty, they said, oh, when you give a safe conduct to a heretic, it doesn't matter. And they burnt him. John Goose, we say in English, John Huss, but it means goose. And Luther said, even if every tile on every roof were a demon, it'll not stop me. He said, Martin Luther, the whole world's against you. He said, well, so what? I'm against the world. Lion-like man. Oh, that in this incoming year, God would make every member of Ballymena congregation as bold as a lion. You know, when I was thinking about that, and I just wrote it down there a while ago, you know what the trouble is? We have to be honest about myself anyway and many Christians today. Instead of being bold like lions, we're like little pussycats. But we're followers of the Lion of Judah. Turn over to Acts 4 just very quickly. We want to be bold as a lion. We're followers of the Lion of Judah. How do you get boldness? Well, you don't work it up. And boldness is not brashness. Boldness is not arrogance. Sometimes there's people who are very arrogant and brash. That's not true boldness. Boldness really is clarity of speech and the courage to speak when we ought to speak. How do you get boldness? You not work it up yourself. Well, look at verse 29. The apostles had been persecuted and told not to preach in the name of Christ. We're in Acts 4, verse 29. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, their praying, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. And what happened in verse 31? My, the place was shaken after they'd prayed. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. They prayed for boldness. They were made bold as lions. But I want you to notice something just very quickly. It's very important in your Bible. How can you be as right? How can the righteous be as bold as a lion? How can you be bold as a lion for the Lord? Well, it's the work of the Trinity. You see, it's by faith in the God the Father. Verse 29, they're praying to God the Father. You'll only be bold as a lion when you are praying to God the Father. There must be faith in God the Father. Go back to verse 13. Now when they saw the boldness, my Peter and John were bold like a lion. They marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. We'll only have boldness when we have faith in the Father, when we have fellowship with God the Son. And then in verse 31, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and they spake the word of God with boldness. The boldness that the Scripture's talking about in the work of God for witnessing, for evangelizing, for standing for the Lord, it only comes by faith in God the Father and the importance of prayer to God the Father. And it's a great encouragement to know of the prayer meetings here in this congregation. But you'll only have boldness as you have faith in the Father. You'll only have boldness as you have fellowship with God the Son. When you get alone with Christ, you'll only have boldness when you're filled with God the Holy Spirit. Oh, that God would make us bold as lions. Bold as lions. Oh, the prophecy we read in the book of Genesis talked about rousing the lion, rousing him up. Oh, listen. Oh, that the Lion of Judah would arise. That the Lion of Judah would rise in our day, in this anniversary year of the revival that commenced in this area of Ballymena. Surely that was a prefigure, if you like, a foreshadowing of the Lion of Judah rising up and conquering. And oh, that you would continue to know in this congregation the Lion roaring, rising up, leading you on from victory unto victory. May God continue to bless you here in Ballymena.
We do thank Mr. Johnson for coming and bringing God's word to us tonight. May the Lord bless it to all of our hearts. And may we know something of that boldness, even in days when sin and wickedness has been bold. May we as the people of God be bold for him. We're going to bow together in prayer and bring our service to a close and commit our way to the Lord. Our Father in heaven, we do bow in thy presence. We thank thee for what we have heard this evening, both by way of the reports that have been given and also from the preaching of thy word. We thank thee for all of thy goodness, even to this congregation, in the many ways that thou hast blessed it and enabled it to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Amen. And, O Lord, we do remember Mr. Greer tonight in prayer. We pray thy hand to be upon him, that thou would be pleased to raise him up and strengthen him. And may he know a speedy recovery, even in the days ahead. We do pray, Lord, that thou will bless thy truth that we have heard. We thank thee for the one who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We rejoice in the mighty power he put forth to deliver our souls. Yes. We thank thee that he spoiled principalities and has delivered us. And Lord, we are those who have been set free. And we rejoice in that liberty and freedom that we have tonight in Jesus Christ. Lord, it is a liberty and a freedom to serve thee and to live for thee in this world. And we pray that you will write thy word upon our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that it might live with us, even as we would come to a close and take our leave of this place. We pray, O Lord, that thy word would abide in our hearts and that we would be those who would go out to be as bold as lions. O Lord, we pray that in a dark day we would be enabled to stand for thee and to honor the Lord, even as those examples have been pointed out to us this night of different individuals in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Lord, we pray that in this day and generation, that thy people might be bold for the Lord. Do bless us, we ask of thee, and be with us now, we pray, for we commit our way to thee in Jesus' name. Amen.